nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
T.S. Eliot said, "Only those risk going too far can possibly find how far they can go." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who take risks and go far. Our first playmaker reduces infectious germs on surfaces for months, while our next playmaker rewards his clients' top sales associates with trips to Hawaii, televisions, iPads, and gift cards. With us today is the CEO of a company whose product breaks the chain of infection, while our next playmaker plans meetings for companies all over the world. These great playmakers are Michael Ruley. Michael is CEO of Allied Bioscience. And Mike May. Mike is president of Spear One, and we're going to begin today's show with Mike May. As I mentioned, Mike is president. He's also owner of Spear One, a full-service performance improvement company. Spear One helps clients drive performance improvement engagement with group incentive travel, recognition and incentive programs, event planning and engagement campaigns with creativity, flexibility, and commitment to results. Now, under Mike's leadership, Spear One has quadrupled in size, added many Fortune 1000 clients, and broadened its expertise. We're going to hear all about that. Mike, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, something that I didn't mention in the opening that people probably need to know about is your first job as a paperboy. How did that teach you about customer service and timeliness?
Okay, wow, that goes back a ways. Yeah, so you know, the one thing about being a paperboy is you got to show up for work every single day. You can't call in sick. You can't be late. So really, at a very early age, taught me about customer service, timeliness of delivery. Taught me not to throw papers into the bushes and on the roofs, too, which was a frequent accident when we tried to throw it all the way to the porch. But yeah, it was a fun job for a teenager.
And we're going to talk in just a few moments about how all that comes into play with Spear One. But one of the things I read about in some of the information I dug up about you was something you called innovative ideation. What is that?
Yeah, so you know, we use what we call an ideation process, and we use a team of seven people, never six, never eight. I'm sort of fanatical that it ought to be seven people. We get our client account teams that may be working on a project for AT&T together, but then we also bring in other client teams, people that have nothing to do with that client, nothing to do with that marketing project, so that we get a fresh flow of ideas. And you know, in any brainstorming process, it's initially about creating the maximum number of ideas, and then you go back and start evaluating them. And inevitably, the very best ideas we come up with were never created by a single person. It seems like we take a little bit of one person's idea and a little bit of another's.
I've always found I'm not creative by myself. I'm extremely creative with a group of people. And it sounds like you're focused on what you're attempting to come up with, so it really creates a lot of great ideas.
It does. And usually we see great ideas that bridge the gap between one client to another. Sometimes we see something that works great in another area, and we kind of repurpose it. Other times we'll see an idea that we thought was a home run, and it bombed. And so then we don't recycle that again. But a lot of times it's about understanding the unique demographics of your audience, understanding the goals that a company is trying to accomplish. And it's amazing in business these days. I think everybody is go, 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 and often doesn't really pause and think through what are their goals, what are their message, how is it different than the last message or the last project they worked on.
And we're speaking with Mike May. Mike is the president and owner of Spear One, and his website is spearone.com. As you can tell, he's in the creativity and innovation business. And you basically have four areas: meeting planning, sales incentives, incentive travel, engagement campaigns, and those are all on your website too. But with all that, tell us about your business. What do you do?
Sure. And I like the fun introduction you gave at the beginning of the show, which is when I tell people at a party that I give away trips to Hawaii or Samsung TVs or Starbucks gift cards, they immediately reply, "How do I do that?" But that elevator pitch captures people's attention. But first of all, our clients, as you mentioned, are what I would call enterprise clients. They're usually $100 million or more in revenue. So they're going to be people like AT&T, Avaya, FedEx Office, Siemens, Rent-A-Center, Sonic Drive-Ins, to name some. So you see, we usually work with large clients, but what we look like is part of their back office marketing services operation. So we're blending creativity with design of a contest or a meeting, but also the administration and logistics of that. So In the incentive travel space, we're taking people to Hawaii, Mexico, Europe. It's things that are called a President's Club trip at most organizations where the top 10% of the sales execs and their guests go. So we coordinate all the logistics, the activities, the dinners, receptions. But then other contests may result in giving away Visa gift cards, Best Buy gift cards, Amazon gift cards, or TVs, things like that. We actually created a contest once that we called Pimp Your Den, which was all about coming in and putting in big screen TVs, new sound systems, just to completely remake top sales execs' den.
Well, as we were talking before we started, the logistics in what you do is tremendous, which is why most companies would not go to the effort of doing what you do, which is why you're that back office part, that they now have someone that can take care of it for them.
Exactly. And many times, one of the other service areas we have is meeting planning. Well, if you're doing what I would call a sales kickoff meeting, you know, that occurs maybe in the first couple months of a client's fiscal year, but there's a tremendous amount of work that goes in 90, 60, 30 days before that. But then after that, you know, it's over and done with. Well, for a company to staff that internally, it creates tremendous peaks and valleys in their workload. So outsourcing that function, or how you like to use the word subcontracting that to us, we bring expertise in. There's a fee, but usually our fee is offset by savings or commissions that we get from hotels.
Well, you have been in this business for years, and you got into it because you were fired from a job. And this just basically proves that just because you have a negative, that doesn't mean you can't turn into a positive. So how did you get started? How did you become involved with Spear One?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the last job I had, I was working for a large public company that was in the construction equipment and industrial equipment rental business. So renting backhoes, air compressors. I ran a $150 million division in the central part of the U.S., but I wasn't enjoying it. I had come to the company through an acquisition. I didn't have the courage to leave. I was content. Well, God probably nudged me out of the nest. Now, while I say I got fired, what really happened is the gentleman that I came into the company with, that was sort of my mentor that I worked with, he resigned. 3 weeks later, they came to me, and it was kind of a funny story. My boss, who was in Florida, said he wanted to come in and talk about budgets in the month of June, and I thought, well, that's an odd time to talk about budgets. You usually talk about budgets in the fall. So I got all ready, and then that morning when I went out to meet the gentleman when he was in our lobby, the VP of HR was with him. So at that point, I immediately knew we probably weren't there to talk about budgets. So we came in. They said, hey, you know, we're going to make a change. I said to myself, no problem. You guys paid millions of dollars to acquire this business. If you give me 1 hour and two boxes, I'll be out of your hair.
Well, saying you got fired is more, it sounds better than going through all that. And you turned that around, but you've really turned Spear One around too. Talk about how Spear One has changed since you became involved.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, that I was almost 40 years old when that happened. So it was kind of halftime in my personal life. Caused me to do some soul searching of what I wanted to do. And I concluded I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And but I also analyzed myself and realized I'm probably not the best person to start something from scratch. I think my skills are better on growing an existing business. So I started networking with business brokers. Somebody introduced me to Spear One that was an 8-year-old company and was the owner at that time was ready to transition out. I acquired the business, and it's really been great. Of course, I would, you know, maybe not to sound like every professional athlete today after they score a touchdown, but I would attribute a lot of the success or all the success to God's favor on what we've done as a religious man. But when I got into the business, we had 8 people and 3 clients. We've been very fortunate. We've got 13 years later, 35 people and 30 clients. And, you know, really took the reputation and the quality of work we were doing with those 3 clients and used that as a doorway to get out and make sales calls and introduce what Spear One does to other businesses.
Well, that tells me one more thing, too. Over the 13 years you've had the company, is you have excellent people working for you, or you could not have gotten to where you are. You couldn't have done this by yourself.
Absolutely not. And I think that's a great story about our business, that it shows it's not dependent on me. It's not dependent on the gentleman that founded the company, but that we've grown through a lot of great people. And so they're really the ones that are out on the front line delivering the customer service, the meeting planning, and the incentive programs to our clients.
But you've also done something for your clients, too. You've written a book called 12 and a Half Steps. That's interesting. 12 and a Half Steps to a Perfect Incentive Program. What's it about?
Yeah, so we created an ebook. It's not on Amazon or anything, Barnes & Noble. But It's an ebook that really walks through a how-to guide to conduct an incentive program. So it walks through everything from establishing goals, analyzing who your audience is, to designing the rules of a contest. Selecting the right rewards is a huge part to make sure the reward matches the audience to provide the right level of motivation, as well as technology and the communications to promote the contest. But overall, it's probably part of a larger marketing strategy that's a content-driven marketing strategy. So much of the buying process has changed in our economy. Now, you see a lot of studies that say 70% of buyers have made the decision before they ever contact a sales rep. So what we were doing is giving value away first with this ebook, but what we're hoping to capture is leads that may have an imminent need to conduct an incentive program.
Well, I'm a big believer in giving away information to help sell, because it gets that taste in their mouth to help them do that. Travel is a big part of your business. Where are the exciting places that you are sending your clients?
Yeah, so we work all over the globe, but being based in Dallas, we do a lot across North America, whether that be Hawaii is always number one. If you look at Travel and Leisure or Condé Nast magazine, Hawaii is always rated number one. Mexico's popular, as well as a lot of the all-inclusives in Mexico. A lot of clients love all-inclusives because they know exactly what their budget's going to be. The CEO loves it because their attendees are never going to have to open up their wallet to pay anything. And even as an example of another book, we wrote one that's called A Meeting Planner's Guide to All-Inclusives. So we look at 36 different all-inclusives. We rank them from 1 to 36 of what our favorites are. And both of those assets you can find on our website. If you just go to spearone.com and click resources, you'll see those.
Well, as looking through your website, you have a number of resources there that they can learn about what they need to know about prior to contacting you.
Yeah, absolutely. So back to that content-driven marketing strategy.
Tell everybody again what your website is.
Yeah, so it's www.spearone.com.
Well, Mike, thank you very much for being with us on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. It's an honor.
Mike May, he is president and he is owner of Spear One, which is a performance improvement company. Don't go away. After our break, we are going to speak with another Mike. It's Michael Rulli. And Michael, CEO of a company that's a little bit different. It's Allied Bioscience. We're going to talk about how he's reducing tremendously the transmission of bacteria and, in a way, help you to reduce getting sick. We'll talk to Michael Rulli when we come back right after this.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment will be fun, and I'm going to attempt to get as much in as I can because it's a real interesting story about infection and reducing it. We're going to talk to Mike Rulli. Mike is the CEO of Allied Bioscience. And before joining Allied Bioscience, Mike spent his career as a leader in the telecom industry, serving as CEO of Airband Communications, Sparkplug Communications, and Hawaiian Telecom. Now, Allied Bioscience is an allied team of scientists and business professionals dedicated to strategically delivering new technologies to healthcare and other public sectors that reduce the spread of infection caused by surface pathogens. There's a lot of words in that. We'll talk about that in the next couple of minutes. Their key product is something called SurfaceWise, a long-lasting antimicrobial surface coating that reduces the presence of infectious pathogens on surfaces that people commonly touch in daily living, therefore redefining what it means for a surface to be clean. We'll find out about that after we talk to Mike. Mike, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
As I mentioned, your background was not in bioscience. You came from the telecom industry. How did you end up leading a bioscience technologies company?
I ask myself that question every day.
And here you are anyway.
It's the fourth company I've run, three of which previously were in the telecom sector. And I'd sold the last company, Airband Communications. And I'd been on the board of this company, though, for 7 years and an investor in it early on. And as we've been working on this for 10 years, the founder has been passionately working on this for a long time. So I've been around the company and involved with it as a director. But then once we got our results out of the hospital in Los Angeles that we coded, the intensive care unit of that hospital, and once as a board we saw the results that were truly groundbreaking, I sold the company. I was looking for something to do. It just worked out perfectly that we could move headquarters from Point Roberts, Washington, where the founder was located, down here to Dallas. It's a great city to have international headquarters in. And there you have it. That's how I became involved in the bioscience industry.
Well, let's talk about that, because that was your first real test of your product. And it's taken 10 years to get here.
It has.
In layman's terms, what are you selling? What have you created?
Well, infectious disease is a third leading cause of death in the country, and basically 80% of infection is passed via touch, 20% is food and air. So the surfaces become contaminated almost immediately after they're cleaned, and therein lies the problem. So if you look at a critical care setting, a hospital environment, you've got people that are in there that are sick already. They have disease. They have illness. There's open wound care, and basically they can't keep it clean enough. It's not like it's a dirty place.
Well, one of the things you had in your information is how quickly something gets dirty again after it's cleaned with something like a Lysol product. How quickly does it get dirty?
There are all kinds of disinfectants that are used to wipe surfaces and kill pathogens, but they're only momentarily clean. So a bleach or a hydrogen peroxide or a disinfectant that's wiping down a surface, once that surface is touched by somebody, it becomes recontaminated again, and a bio layer builds up on that surface. So therefore, that surface is not active and not working anymore. It's got this thin film bio layer of dead pathogens, bacterium and viruses that are on that surface, and you just can't keep it wiped down often enough. So therein lies the problem. The spread of infection occurs via retouching that surface, and recontamination occurs constantly. And therefore, you've heard of the term hospital-acquired infections. That's what occurs in hospitals. You go in and you're sick for something, and you get something else while you're there under their care. And that's a big problem for the healthcare industry. And that's what we're hoping to help solve with the product that we call SurfaceWise.
So it's coating everything. And on your website, it says that we touch something like 300 surfaces every 30 minutes. We're touching everything. And once we touch it, we touch our face and we start spreading disease. So as a result of this, this should reduce infection tremendously in hospitals. You also mentioned you want to get into cruise ships too.
That's true. So if you back up a little bit, you've heard about these superbugs that are out there. They're antibiotic-resistant bugs, organisms. And because of the prescribing of antibiotics over the years, your body has become more immune to that. They're less antibiotics are less effective. And so that is also part of the problem too. So I think, you know, by our coatings, which go on hard and soft surfaces, it bonds to that surface, creates a new surface, if you will, a very thin film coating.
And this is invisible to the naked eye.
It's invisible to the naked eye. Takes about 30 minutes to sanitize and apply in a hospital room. And we do the entire hospital. Everything in there, mobile assets, IV poles, wheelchairs, beds, railings, hard and soft surfaces, walls, anything that you can touch, glass, anything that you can touch. And then that surface is protected and working for not only days, weeks, but months after one coating. And we have proven it. We've got the scientific data published in the Journal of American Control, the Journal of Infection Control, and we also have the clinical data coming out of the hospital in LA, which is the patient data, and we saw a huge reduction in hospital-acquired infections in that intensive care unit.
this has been going on for about 10 years, and it's finally coming to fruition. Where did the idea for SurfaceWise actually come from?
Our founder was a rugby player, and he was at a rugby match and had an injury, went in for surgery, and contracted a hospital-acquired infection as a result of it that was very, very serious. Almost lost his leg as a result of it. And he was in the coating business prior in the automotive coating industry. And basically, it was his idea to think that, is there a coating that we could put in to this environment that would protect patients? And that was where the idea originated. And that's what we're launching now in the United States and around the world, in fact. I was just in Geneva at the World Health Organization explaining this technology to them. And it is truly groundbreaking and revolutionary. By the end of the year, we'll be in 4 to 6 hospital systems, and then hopefully we will see the clinical evidence show up of a reduction in hospital-acquired infections.
As you talk about this, this just seems logical. It's something that I should have thought of a long time ago, just put something on the surface where I wouldn't get sick as a result of touching it. But it took somebody like him with a problem to come up with the idea. In taking 10 years, was it looking at different types of materials, I guess, to come up with this coating?
Yes, it was a combination of elements. And we're using known chemicals that are vetted through the EPA and the FDA, so there's not a toxicity problem with the chemicals. And so it's a safe environment. Once we put that coating on the surface, it's completely safe, and it's an active working surface residually. We also did it in buses in Santa Monica, California. We took about a quarter of their buses, and after 30 days in those buses that we treated, we saw a 93% reduction of any pathogen level. So the microbial burden, 93% reduced after 30 days. Hundreds of people a day getting on those buses, touching those handrails, putting money in the machine. So that'll just tell you that, you know, after that long a time, still that effective.
Now, you're just getting into different facilities like hospitals. You just were in L.A. doing that. You were in those buses. What kind of manpower will it take to go into a hospital, and how long will it take to coat everything that needs to be coated?
That's a really good question. Depends on how many beds the hospital has. But let's say 500-bed hospital, which would be a major acute care facility, take about 45 days to 60 days to completely coat the entire hospital. So you're having to tag all the assets, make sure everything in there is labeled so we know when it was coded and we can track it. And, you know, you have patients in there. You have people working in there. So we have to work days and nights and around the clock to effectively coat the entire facility, because that's really when we start to see the effectiveness, when everything is protected. And that's when we start to see the efficacy. And that's when the drop in infection rate should occur.
We are speaking with Michael Rulli. Michael is the CEO of Allied Bioscience, and you can read more about this, because this is absolutely fascinating, at alliedbioscience.com. Lots of information there. I saw on your website, I believe you coat the surfaces with an electrostatic gun spraying it on. How does that work?
It's an electrostatic applicator. It looks like a Ghostbuster-type gun. Basically, we're negatively charging the ions that come out of that gun, so it's bonding to the surface. The surface is positively charged, so it's looking for places to bond. So what we get is an effect where it wraps around underneath and gets in the crevices, and so we have a really nice uniform coating that is creating that new surface I just talked about. That particular gun was developed in the agricultural industry, so as pesticides went on plant leaves, it would also wrap underneath the leaves, so it would protect the top and the bottom. So we're using a technology for application that's been out there for quite a long time.
The amount of research that has gone into this has to be amazing. As I'm thinking of you, as you're speaking about this, coating is covering a surface, and it's covering the bacteria that's there already, or is it killing it?
Well, we spend a good amount of time re-cleaning and re-sanitizing those surfaces before we apply. We want to apply our coating to a sanitized
surface first,
right? And then we have a good bond and a new surface that allows it to continue to work for, you know, weeks. Our theory is every 3 months we will go back and re-coat. So we will have a team of people in a hospital year-round, just doing nothing but working with their staff and their facilities departments on just continued coating those. So 4 times a year. It's kind of like a window washer in a skyscraper. You go up one side and then you go down the other. It's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You just start one end to the other.
Yeah, one to the end. That's right. And I've always been told the best business to be in sales is one where they have to keep buying from you, and they'll have to keep doing that. that surface, you clean the surface, you then put your SurfaceWise on there. When I touch that surface, what about the bacteria on my hand? Does it just go away? Does it bounce off? What happens?
Basically, it eliminates it. It creates such a hostile environment for that on representation on the surface that it cannot survive. So it eliminates it. It breaks the metabolic component of the organism down. It bleeds out, and it's eliminated.
So two of the industries you're going to get into, obviously hospitals. We've heard so much about bacteria in hospitals and potentially making people sick and even killing them. Also cruise ships, because that's obviously been in the news. Where else do you see a great application for SurfaceWise?
Well, I think there's lots of applications, anything from locker rooms to schools to hospitality, hotel rooms. With hospitals, you've got people in there staying for quite a long period of time, and we think we can reduce the patient days, get people out sooner, more effectively, which is very important. But there's all kinds of industries, transit and others, that could possibly see this as an effective way to create a safer environment for their passengers and customers.
We're coming to the end here, but I do want to ask you about Ebola, because it was more popular here in Dallas, because this is where the where Ground Zero was. But will this help reduce anything like Ebola?
Well, that was Ground Zero right here, and unfortunately, it was something where the healthcare workers got sick. Ebola is a virus. It will live on a surface for a short period of time, but it's more in the employee safety aspect of making sure you're gowned appropriately, and there's protocols around making sure there's no bodily fluids that get onto your skin that basically can seep into a cut or a small orifice in your skin. So basically, it will help. With the spread of Ebola, but primarily we're talking about a bacterial benefit here that it's highly effective on bacteria, and that's where a lot of the problems occur with bacterial disease in hospitals, and that's where we're going to focus.
Absolutely fascinating. If you want to find out about it, again, go to alliedbioscience.com. Mike, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Michael Rulli is the CEO of Allied Bioscience, as I mentioned, alliedbioscience.com. Thank you very much for joining us. This has been a great show. All our shows are on our website, which is PlaymakersTalkShow.com. We're going to be back next week with more guests. We'll look forward to seeing you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.